Amen. God's so good to appreciate his presence here this evening. Go in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 23, if you would, the book of Matthew chapter 23. And, you know, after that beautiful song and such a wonderful spirit we feel during the worship, I just feel like I can trust Jesus. Amen. I feel like I can trust him. I feel like if I was going through something here this evening, I feel like if there was something going on in my mind or in my body, I think I would just go ahead and say, you know what, Lord? You've got it. I trust you. I know if you can take care of them little birds out there, you know, it's just amazing. He can take care of us. I'm a lot bigger than a bird. I know if he sees that bird, he sees me. Amen. A lot bigger than a flower. Flowers may be a lot prettier, but I know one thing. I just know that God can take care of me. I've witnessed that many times in my life. And well, with such a wonderful spirit, I'm going to deal with a heavy subject here this evening. This is a message I have been working on for a good season. Didn't know when I would preach it, kind of had visited these things. We're going to deal tonight with legalism. Now, it kind of seems like a unique subject to deal with in a holiness church because everybody thinks we're legalists. Well, my goal in preaching this is to really highlight what legalism is. And especially we know we have standards and things that we believe, but we're not legalists. And we're going to talk about, we want to define what a legalist is. Now, I will honestly say, to my knowledge, I have never really met a real, genuine Pharisee. As far as I know, okay, I've met some people over the years who were pretty, I mean, up there, you know what I'm saying? But I can't say I've ever met a Pharisee, nor can I say I've ever really met a legalist. Somebody that really believes that you have to work your way to salvation. I'm sure they exist, but in my ministry, but I have met people in my years of just being in the church and preaching and traveling and preaching, that there have been people that have been guilty of legalism, even though they are not legalist. Things that maybe they do or say sometimes. And so I just want to kind of demystify what this is. I want to challenge us. And I'm just going to go ahead and forewarn you, this will be a message that will challenge our hearts. It has challenged mine. I want to be sure that we have a clear understanding of what the gospel is. And I even, Lord willing, here soon, I may be dealing some with some holiness preaching, maybe preaching on some holiness things eventually, been working on some other things. But I think it's just very important that we start right here in the book of Matthew chapter 23 and deal with this subject. Now, what I'm going to title this message is Sanctified Selfishness. Sanctified Selfishness. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to start reading there. I'm not going to read this whole chapter. Many faithful Bible readers or those that have read their Bible, read this chapter, knows this. This is when Jesus kind of deals with the Pharisees and the scribes, and he kind of deals with what they believe and how they are. Let's look there at verse 1 of chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and they do not. So notice that. Number one, he recognizes their authority. You know, God will never undermine true authority. He don't mind, even if we disagree with government at times, we still are to recognize authority. And even there's other churches I've been around over the years, I didn't necessarily agree with everything about the church, but yet I'm not going to go attack their authority. But where they are wrong, they are wrong. Everybody with me? Where they are wrong, they are wrong. That's what Jesus does in verse 3. And he said, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and they do not. They're hypocrites. Is what he's dealing with there. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens in grief that are grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Notice that. They put burdens on people, but do not help, even not even lift a finger to help them. They almost enjoy watching people struggle underneath a burden. Now, and that's a horrible thing when you begin reading about these men that we find here. And I'm not going to read all this to you, but I want you to notice, if you go down to verse 13, starting in verse 13, you see, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. You see, again in verse 14, woe unto you. Verse 15, woe unto you. Verse 16, woe unto you. Jump right over to verse 23. It says, woe unto you. Verse 25, woe unto you. Verse 27, woe unto you. And finally, verse 29, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. You'll see this 8 different times here in Matthew chapter 23. So I want to deal with this subject here today. I do need God's help in teaching and preaching this because I want us to have a true definition of what a legalist is. And also, if any of us, if I have ever been guilty, if you have ever been guilty, to feel challenged in your heart, but also to understand what, you know, when the world accuses us of this, that you understand and you are better able to defend yourself on this subject. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Fathers, I come to you in prayer. God, I need your help this evening. God, as I deal with this subject, God, of legalism, God, the New Testament deals with it so much, God. And I ask you, Lord God, that as a pastor standing here in this pulpit, Lord, I believe in truth, God. We love your word. We love truth. And God, I just want to challenge us here this evening. I want to deal with this subject, but I need your help in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. An interesting thought for your personal study, if you would like to write this down. There's several times in the Bible that we see this subject or this what we call leavened mentioned in the Bible. Many of us know what leavened is when it comes to bread, that yeast to kind of make something to grow. Interesting about this, there's two different types of leaven that we see in the New Testament when it comes to people. First, we find Jesus warning us against the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, I don't have the exact reference there, but that may ring a bell in your mind. He warns us against the leaven of their doctrine and the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes. When you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, there's an interesting situation there. In that church, you find a young man who is having a fornication, a relationship, and there the Lord then deals with the leaven of lawlessness. And there he deals with that. He calls it leaven. It's the sin that's not being dealt with. So what I want you to understand is when it comes to leavened, when it comes applied to people in the New Testament, number one, there is the leaven of legalism and there is the leaven of lawlessness. Once again, both of those things are completely dangerous to the church. I want you to understand that. They are both very dangerous to the church. Number one, we realize we cannot be lawless in a sense to where we have no conviction and we have no boundaries and we have no truths and we have no standards. We need those things as we are protecting our identity, our modesty, our truth, and our doctrines. But on the other end of things, we cannot have the leaven of legalism as well, to where we feel like just because we do a certain thing or abstain from a certain thing, that that's the very thing that has saved us in the first place. We cannot allow that to happen in our minds. Now, the interesting thing about legalism, instantly we tie legalism to this sect called the Pharisees. Now, at that time, if you were to study and read your Bibles and kind of read some commentaries on this subject, there was estimated around 6,000 Pharisees in that region at that time. I will go ahead and let you know, not all of the Pharisees were bad men. Not all of them were really men that had an impure heart. There were some of them that were good men. We see men like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea there. We see men like that that really were Pharisees. And even though they were in the law and kept the law, they were not evil men that had evil hearts. They were open to learning from the things of God. But we do know there's another group, probably a larger portion of the Pharisees, who were men that were mean, they were stubborn, they were corrupt. They hated the change that Christ was striving to bring to Israel and to the world. And the reason being is they lived in this little secure empire, and anything that threatened their little secure empire, it made them so mad. You're talking about a stubborn bunch of men. And I will be honest with you, I have met some stubborn men when it come to the holiness movement. I have met some men at times, and some women as well, that I thought to myself, my, they are missing the spirit of the Bible. They are missing, and you've heard me say this many times, they have the right right verse, but my, they had the wrong spirit. They had the right verse, but they had the wrong spirit. And we must beware of such a mindset. Legalism, another definition is this. It is outward conformity to the law of God and man-made regulations, but inwardly you can be cold and dead. Legalists refuse to let people in the kingdom who do not think like they do. Do you know the entrance into the kingdom of God is not you or me? I am not somebody that says, look, you know, I think you can get into the kingdom today. Jesus is the door. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And that's what we uphold to this world. And even though we have things that define us and things that we live, we preach Jesus Christ, Him born, Him crucified, and Him resurrected from the grave. I like what one writer defined as legalism in the New Testament. He said legalism was the dragon that Jesus sought to slay through much of His teaching. As a matter of fact, and I don't have time to do this, and I may do it just a little bit at the end of this message, if I was to take you back to Matthew chapter 5, and I was to deal with the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount was a direct attack against the Pharisees and legalism. That's who He was dealing with right there. He was letting these men that were sitting over there in their long flowing robes and their garb, and who liked to pray out loud and fast and distort their faith when they fast, and they would pray in the temple and look at everybody else, and they would say things like this according to the Talmud. They would pray like this. You know, of course, we've seen the one scenario there where he said, I'm glad I'm not like that publican. But this is what some other Pharisees would pray. At times they would pray, I am glad I am not a woman or a Gentile as well. They were not only that, they looked down on women and the suffering, and they thought that if you suffered, you suffered because you sinned. And when we can see this mindset all permeating all through the New Testament. But number one, let me give you some thoughts about legalism here this evening. Number one, legalists always focus on the negative. You ever met a negative person? I mean, they could find a cobweb in a golden palace. They could. I have met some people that just are not positive people. They're negative people. There's always something wrong, and there's always a problem. And I mean, they're legalists and they're negative. And I'm going to be honest with you. And once again, even though I would not say some of these churches I have visited fall into Pharisees in that sense, but I will tell you this. I've been to some churches that thrive on the negative. And that's what they're known for. They're just negative people. They are the frozen chosen. They are the my for and no more. That's who they are. And they just really don't have a heart for God. They're just callous and cold and indifferent. And they could care less about their neighbor. They're holding on to the rapture if they make the rapture. And they just think that's what it is. They think life is just about, just being rigid and cold and negative about everything that's going around all around them. And I'm telling you, we should not be defined by the negative. We shouldn't be those people that make Christianity unattractive because we're already always negative. But I'm telling you, you can be positive and be a Christian. Now, I don't believe that we should compromise the truth to be attractive, but I believe true holiness is attractive. I believe true living the Bible is attractive, and the world would look at us and they would inquire about our joy and our happiness and our unity and our peace, and they'll look at our marriages and say, my, how's your marriage made it? And then we can point to holiness things and truth, yes. But number one, understand this. Legalists are those that focus on the negative. A man by the name of S. Lewis Johnson wrote an article called The Paralysis of Legalism. Listen to what he says. He says, legalism is one of the most serious problems facing Orthodox Christianity today. It wrenches the joy of the Lord from the believer, and with the joy of the Lord goes His power for vital worship and vibrant service. Nothing is left but cramped, somber, dull, listless profession. The truth is betrayed, and the glorious name of the Lord becomes a synonym for the gloomy killjoy. So notice what I'm trying to say here is this. If you're a Christian, you can be positive and happy. Understand what I'm saying. I talked this morning. I said, Brother Eric, you sound contradictive. This morning you said we need a burden, and we do. But also you can be happy in your faith serving the Lord. I'm telling you where the perplexities come into this generation. I mean, you got the charismatic, the liberal, the lawless, those that have no standard, those that really could care less. And you can't even shape some of these churches nowadays. You look on their website, you look at their bylaws, and you don't know what they believe because they don't want you to know what they believe. we're warm and we're welcome and we're soft and we preach the sloppy agape and all this stuff, and we want you to come in and they set the mood and all this stuff. They just want you to have this emotional experience. And I'll be honest with you, I've heard a lot of the singing and it's horrible. I mean, it's dreary and repetitive, there's no theology to it. And I'm telling you, that's a problem in this movement, in this world we live in. But I'm going to tell you the problem. A lot of times you find them people smiling, and you find the holiest man and woman over here frowning all the time. And it causes confusion and trouble. You can be happy in holiness at the same time. I mean, they're at Walmart passing out stickers and smiling and say, God bless you. And we're over here like, ah. When I say we, I'm talking about those that are legalists, and I will not refer, you know what I mean. But you can be over here and kind of like, well, I hope God, no, this is just a mess. And yes, I know we're in a mess, but guess what? You can be happy about Jesus at the same time, even in a fallen world. So notice this. I thought this was interesting as I began praying and focusing on this. I'm going to ask you a question. How do you define your faith? It is my personal conviction, and I want you to hear me out here. I wrote this down so I wouldn't mispronounce this, and just want you to hear me out before we go anywhere. I want you to listen. How do you define your faith? It is my personal conviction that for far too long, Christianity has been expressed only in the negative rather than in the positive. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't go to the dances, don't go to the pools, don't do the lottery, and all these things may be well and sinful, which is true. But that is not the way the Lord encourages us to define our faith. You're not just to tell the world what you don't do, but what do you do? You with me? So if we're not careful, and I'm sure if you would have went up to Jesus, explain the gospel. Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this. That don't even sound like Jesus. Jesus would tell you about what he's about, what defines him, who he is. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, sometimes we want to start way up the road when we need to start at point one. Number one is this: Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and he can forgive you of your sins and all these wonderful things. We need to start and be in the positive. There's some churches that are just known by the negative, and that is a problem. I'm going to give you six characteristics of legalism, and this is after much study. I've read about these things and read a lot of books and articles, and this is just a conglomeration of different thoughts about this. Number one, legalism looks at the law and ignores the Spirit. I'll tell you, something's dangerous is when you give a man a Bible and he ain't got no common sense. It's dangerous. Give a man a Bible with not a lick of common sense, and he don't take his time to study the context. He don't take his time to study the audience. He don't take his time to study the Bible and really understand what it's saying. You give a man or a woman a Bible and don't give them, and just they just up there and they're cold and indifferent. They don't care about the audience. They don't care about the spirit behind the text. Legalism could be defined as putting adherence to the letter of the law, what is written in the Word of God, but ignoring and looking over the Spirit, the devotional Spirit, one writer would say, and point that behind, instead of looking at the Spirit behind the Word of God, we're just cold and we're callous. Once again, you can have the right verse, but the wrong spirit. I can't remember who it is, but you remember in the New Testament when Jesus, I want to say it's against the Samaritans there, and was it James and John that came to Jesus and said, do you want us to call thunder, you know, fire down upon them like Elijah did? You know, I think that's what he said, or Elisha. I can't remember. Don't want to mess that up, but you get the context. And the Lord lets him know, right verse, wrong spirit. Yes, that took place in the Old Testament. Yes, there's an example of that. But you're missing the spirit behind the text. We've got to learn to live in the spirit of the Bible and not just the letter of the Bible. What is God trying to say to us when we read his word? Don't be cold and don't be somber, but pray and read the word and ask God to show you how to have a good spirit and to know the spirit of the Bible. If you just look at the letter of the law, if you're not careful, you're just trying to live something in a legalistic way. You've got to know what God's really trying to say. You remember the story of the woman that's caught in adultery and brought before Jesus, act of fornication? And did the Pharisees have a text to back up what they're about to do? Yeah. But guess what? You had the law which said stone her. But then you have Jesus, which is the Spirit and grace that meets the law and lets us to understand there's a reason and a way to handle things. And grace is great and mighty and amazing. We must understand the spirit behind the text. Number two, legalists believe that they are earning merit when they do something. They do something and they think that it's something that they're doing is saving them. Now, I have met people that fall into this category. It's what they do. Have you ever heard of moralism? Moralism, which means I'm going to treat the Bible like a little manual, and as long as I do this, and they just feel like that's what's going to save them. I'm going to tell you right now, you're justified by faith. Now, we realize if you're saved, there's going to be some things that you do and you should do. But what saves you is putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Justification by faith. And if you don't like that, maybe you say, well, Brother Derek, the book of James says, you know, faith without works is dead. Yes. But let's look at the book of Romans and understand the context of that. I put my faith in Jesus and I am justified. I am saved. Yes. And then when I'm saved, now that I'm born again and I have a new nature, there's going to be works in my life. Yes. But what saved me? It was putting my faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was out here the other day and received a phone call. And lady, you know, it seemed very encouraging at first, and it turned out the other way. And the lady said, hey, you know, are you the pastor? I said, yes, I am. And she said, I've seen your website. I love it, and I believe it all. I said, well, praise the Lord. And she said, well, I don't live around there, but I have a sister that lives around there. And she said, you are a Jesus-only apostolic church. And I said, no, I'm not. And she said, well, I thought your website said that. I said, I don't know how you put two and two together there, but no, that's not what we believe. And she said, well, why ain't you? Said it just like that. I said, because I believe I can put my faith in Jesus and get saved. And she said, well, you explain the gospel to me. And of course, Acts 2:38, and they go on this long rant, all that stuff. And basically, when everything was said and done, she said, well, I hope you come to the knowledge of the truth. And I said, I hope you do the same. I mean, really ain't going to go nowhere there. But what I want you to understand is this. We cannot earn our salvation by merit. It's not just because we do this or we do that. You don't have some, God's not sitting there with some sort of credit report, and as long as you show up here, and even though you should show up, and even though you do this, and now you should do this, guess what? That's not what is saving you. That's not what is keeping you safe. It is your faith is why you even do that. So don't think you're one of those people because you showed up on time this morning, somebody else didn't, that God's smiling bigger at you. Okay, there's some people that think that God's smile upon, you know, two Christians beside each other, and you have a person over here say, God likes me better than you because I did this. No, that's not the Bible. Matter of fact, if you're a brother and sister in the Lord here today, we're both justified, and He's smiling at both of us. That doesn't mean that we don't have some work to do and we can't grow and do more in the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean that you don't have some work to do. I don't have some work to do. But I'll tell you this right now. If you're born again, when you were unsaved, you were underneath the frown of God. When you are saved, you're underneath the smile of God. There's a difference in your life. So don't think just because you do this or you do that, that you're more accepted with God because you're a legalistic adherence to the Word of God. Their faithfulness is not saving them. If you think your faithfulness is saving you, you're Catholic. We don't believe that. Now, we believe you should be faithful, but the reason you're faithful is because you're saved. It's not saving you. Everybody with me? It's not, you know, the reason you are faithful is because you're working from salvation, not working for it. Salvation is not a paycheck that you're going to get when you check into heaven. And somebody else, you know, you're going to say, well, my paycheck's bigger than yours. I did more. That's what Muslims believe. That your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds and all this stuff. And I'm telling you, that's what the Catholics believe. That's not what we believe. That's what legalists believe. Number three, legalism wants to enforce regulations on everybody else. There's a third thing, and this is really what defines legalism. Not only is it looking at the Word of God and taking the letter over the Spirit, not only is it looking at the Word of God and thinking that you're becoming better in the eyes of God just because you do this, but it goes a step further and it wants to enforce upon everybody else the rules and the regulations that you see correct. You see that? Now, if there's a biblical principle in this Bible, we should live it, right? But don't think just because the way you cut your steak is the way everybody else has got to cut their steak. Don't think just because it's your preference that it has to be everybody else's preference. That is legalism. If you begin to try to shove everything on everybody else, well, I do it this way and I like it this way and me, my, you sound like a three-year-old. That's not what we believe. Now we have things that we live, and there's a term we use called orthodoxy, which means orthodoxy, that word means straight doctrine, and there's orthopraxy, which means straight practice, and we should work on those and live those things. But if you're always negative and always thinks everybody's going to do it your way, you're flirting with the mindset of legalism. I like blue, you should like blue. You understand, I'll share an experience with you because I'll wait to my next point. I'll share that with you. Point number four. Legalists usually have an extremely weak conscience. I want you to notice this. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, you do not have to turn there. I will give you the context and the narrative here. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and there's a bit of a dispute going on because some people were eating meat that was sacrificed to idols to a foreign god. And he says that they have a weak conscience. I want you to notice here what the context of this is. There were some people, Paul says, that have a weak conscience who thought that it was wrong, but they went a step further and said that it was a sin. So let me just put it this way. We're at this restaurant in Corinth. I order a steak, and I'm sitting there eating, and there's a guy over there looking at me crying. So I can't believe you're a sinner. I thought so much better of you. And I'm over there eating the steak, and I'm like, man, this is delicious. It's wonderful. You don't know where that came from. And I'm like, okay, I don't. They'd say, well, that was sacrificed to idols. And I'm over there eating that steak. I said, well, idols ain't even real, man. You know what I'm saying? This is a good steak. You ought to have one. Idols are, not even real. They're false and all this stuff. It's just a wonderful meal. And so what these people did, I understand trying to be sensitive to a brother, and that's some of the context here. But notice how weak that conscience is. They take it a step further and even saying, look, this is a form of sin. You should not do it. It makes you less of a Christian when you eat of this meat that's sacrificed to an idol. And Paul is even saying, look, I understand that meat's really is sacrificed to an idol. It doesn't really matter either way. The idol's not real, but you should abstain from doing that because it is offending the conscience of that brother. His mind is so sensitive. Now, I do believe with all ability, I've tried this. I have traveled and I've been around enough to know there's some people that have a weak conscience. Okay, I was preaching in one state before at a fall meeting. It was a youth meeting. And I didn't think nothing about this, all right? We're sitting out there and it's a nice, beautiful day. And there's a gentleman in that church that is real good at painting. I mean, he's very good at painting. And so what they would do is they would have the kids that are actually going to paint like an animal right there on their face. And, you've seen that before at Fall Fest and festivals and stuff like that. I didn't think nothing about it. And I had a guy come over to me and said, I'm taking my kids. We're getting out of here. I said, my word, what happened? What'd somebody do to you? They're putting paint on them kids' face. I said, what are you talking about? I thought it was some sort of cosmetic thing set up somewhere or something. I said, what in the... They said they're painting animals on these little animals, little creatures on these kids' face. And I thought to myself, what is the big deal? And honestly, in my mind, and all those other parents are sitting there, the kids are having a good time, and I mean, it's all innocent. The man in the church is real good at painting, and I mean, everybody's having a good time, but boy, that little animal on that face had this man all huffed up. He acted silly and was going to gather his kids up. I'm telling you, he's got a problem in his mind. He's got a weak conscience. Now, if it was something evil, that'd be different. And then he got on another subject. We're sitting around, and he wants to bring up the subject of TVs. He said, anybody has a TV is a sinner. Period. Write them off. And I said, wait, there's some people that have TVs that are sinners. Not all of them. He said, no, all of them. So, I told you I've never met a Pharisee. He was close. He was close. He had a weak conscience. It took very little. Now, what are you trying to say, Brother Derek? Look, if you have a TV or don't have a TV, I don't care. Okay, now if you like little animals, at a fall festival, be painting on your kid's face, or you'd rather not, that is up to you. But to try to make that a standard, no, what I like to preach is, it's what you watch on TV that is wrong. Okay, that's what we need to preach is a balance to this, is an understanding. There's some people that have such a fragile conscience, and I'm going to be honest with you, you can't always just cater to everybody's thought and whim all the time. There's some people that are just very sensitive, and that's just the way it is. It's tough sometimes in ministry to try to figure out where's the line for this one. That's one thing about evangelism that's so tough. You know, my wife has to be, you go here, sweetie, don't do this one. Don't show your toes over here. Don't wear bows over here. You've got to be careful to wear you out sometimes trying to appeal to everybody. Now, if it's subjects of immodesty, for things that are sinful, that are troublesome, I don't mind preaching and dealing with it. I don't mind any time or any day. But we are not defined by that spirit. Matter of fact, when that man got his kids and left, I thought to myself, good, we can have a good time now. He's in the way. And I think he went to barefoot church out in the middle of a swamp country somewhere. And they don't care if anybody comes to the church. They don't care if anybody gets saved. And I'm not joking. It was bare something swamp church. And I said, man, just the meanest man, one of the meanest people I ever met in a long time. We cannot be legalists. Notice this. There's always an emphasis on what is forbidden. Point number 5. It is marked in the scriptures by this excessive emphasis on what is forbidden in the law. There's some people, once again, that are just negative all of the time. Point number 6, and I want you to hear this because this is very important. Legalists have a lack of balance. Listen, I'm going to read to you from Matthew 23 and 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. And notice this, they're paying tithes even on their table salt, so to speak. I mean, they got their spices in the cabinet, 10%, 10%, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, these folks are paying tithes on everything. They're tedious. They're weighing out even the mint in their home. But notice what he says. You have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I want you to notice what he says there. Jesus read words. I didn't write it. He did. Imagine these folks over there weighing out the very mint in their cabinets. But he says the weightier matters of the law you don't even pay attention to. I've never understood. There's some people that can be faithful in everything and nice about everything and all this stuff. But when it comes to the weightier matters of the law, such as mercy and faith and judgment, you leave them undone. Characteristic of legalism is that it hones in and emphasizes on the less important things at the expense of the most important things. The weightier the spiritual matters are neglected, they just are off balance. You ever met somebody that's just off balance? They focus on all of this other stuff. But they can be mean as a snake. It's off balance. They can focus on all this other stuff, but be bitter and talk about their neighbor. They can focus on all this other stuff, but be full of lust and perversion. They can focus on all this other stuff, but the weightier matters of the law, being merciful and good to your neighbor, they don't even focus on. Listen to what one writer says. What God puts on the top, we put at the bottom, and what he puts at the bottom, we want to put at the top. That's what legalists want to do. God stresses some things more importantly than others. I want you to understand that. And we must be balanced in our doctrine. Now, obviously we don't have time to finish this because I'm going to just give you this principle and let you study it in your own time, okay? Listen to me. Give me a few more minutes. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 36, there are 8 denunciations which Jesus cast towards the Pharisees. We call them the 8 woes. I've already showed them to you. They are called the 8 woes. What is interesting here about the 8 woes, I want you to notice this and please follow me. When you begin to contrast them with the 8 Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 1 through 12, you'll find that they are the exact opposite. Now, I'm not going to go through all this. I'm just going to read them to you and hit and go. Number 1, when it comes to entering into the kingdom, We understand that these men don't enter into the kingdom. Jesus would say the poor in the spirit, they are the ones that enter the kingdom. But it says that the Pharisees don't enter in the kingdom. They shut the door and don't even go in the kingdom themselves or let nobody else go in. You'd have to be a sorry person to stand at the gate of salvation the only way and try to hinder people from going through that door. If your spirit, your attitude, your mindset hinders anybody from getting to Jesus Christ, you are a Pharisee. You're a Pharisee. The Pharisees did not want nobody to go in. They're hindering people from coming in. But Jesus says the poor in spirit will go in. Jesus will say that the mourners would be comforted. But notice here, the destroyers will be condemned in this outlay here, the woes unto them. While the verse is not in the same, in some of the manuscripts, it is interesting to read here that these men were condemned because they were prideful and haughty. It would say in Matthew chapter 5:5, the meek shall inherit the earth. But notice that the Pharisees, one of the woes unto them is this. They don't inherit the earth, it says, but they proselyte and they make people a twofold son of hell. They send them the other direction. They don't inherit. They are disinherited. They don't hunger for holiness. They hunger for gain. They don't obtain mercy, but they reject mercy. We could see they're not pure in heart. They are defiled in heart. They're not peacemakers, but they are those that are persecutors of God's children. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this. Legalism is the opposite of the heart of God. Read the book of Matthew chapter 5. Then come to Matthew chapter 23 and read this, and you'll see two contrasting and different types of people. What do you want to be defined by? Matthew 5. Or Matthew 23, I'd rather be a Christian any day. Amen. Sister Morgan, if you would go to the piano. Moralism and legalism. Christian moralists tend to reduce the Bible to just a manual. I'll tell you right now, brothers and sisters, I know this is kind of a heavy message. And I said, Brother Derek, you know, good message, wrong crowd. Good message, wrong crowd. I'm going to tell you right now, we all need to be warned against the leaven of legalism. You know I believe in holiness. Sit down with me with a cup of coffee. Get your Bible out. Ask me what I believe. Search my heart. I'll hide nothing from you. Matter of fact, I'll lay it flat on the table. I'll give you everything I believe. Go get that church manual. Get your Bible. Sit down with me. Brother Derek, can you show me why you believe what you believe? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I would love to have the conversation. I believe in it. But I tell you what I don't believe in. I don't believe in legalism. I don't believe in a wrong spirit. I believe we need to have the Spirit of God living in us, the Spirit of the Bible permeating throughout us, and know what the Spirit of God is trying to say unto the church. Now, here sometime in the near future, I may do some preaching on holiness. But just in case you feel, Brother Derek, you know, when you deal with holiness sometimes, don't let it make you a legalist. The devil is a lie. As a matter of fact, I'm not trying to keep anybody from going in the door. I'm holding the door open. I think if you're a real gentleman in the real world, that you'll hold a door open for somebody if you see him coming. Amen? You know, I'll hold a door open. There's sometimes somebody's halfway down the parking lot. I have a door open. So come on. I said, take your time now. Take your time. It's the way I was raised. So I'm not trying to keep anybody from going through the door. I want them to go through the door and stay in the door and be happy in the door. But I'm telling you right now, there's things we should live. Years ago, I will just testify, and I know I've shared this with some of you before, but just for some of you to know my background, when I first got saved as a young minister, I was zealous for the truth. Had little wisdom, but a lot of zealousy. Had some things had standards I believed that I still believe to this day. I'm not afraid to teach them or talk about them. But I do remember there was a point in time I had a wrong spirit about me. Had a wrong spirit. I tend to be more of a negative person. You know, it wasn't even about having a conversation with somebody and try to edify them or trying to bring them into the truth or let them know the truth. I had a wrong spirit. And I will never forget it. We were having a church service outside in a church parking lot. We were praying over dedicating a piece of ground that we were building a church on. And I remember the Lord got to moving and blessing different ones. I remember I got looking around and thinking to myself, man, sister so-and-so, I know what she lives. And I mean, these were Christian ladies, but there's some things I disagreed with. And I said, she shouldn't be shouting. And so-and-so over there, why in the world is he rejoicing? And this person, why are they crying? They need to get this right. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I looked around, and Derek Jones was the only one not worshiping God. And God was touching all these other hearts. It was at that moment, it drove me to a season of prayer. And I said, Lord, if you'll forgive me for being so haughty, high-minded and selfish, just for looking around and trying. And now once again, I wasn't in some sin-sick atmosphere. I'm looking around at brothers and sisters and trying to be the policeman of the worship service. You know, one of those people. No, stop praying. No. I'm telling you, if you live like that, you're probably a miserable soul. I don't want to live that way, do you? Right now, I hope everybody's in this room. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I hope everybody in this room knows the fullness of Christ like never before. I hope your family is blessed. I hope your children are blessed. I hope your grandchildren are blessed. I hope they come up being tongue-talking Pentecostal preachers. I hope God blesses your finances. I hope God blesses your mind and your spirit and your home. I hope God blesses the trees in your yard. I want you to be happy in the kingdom of God. But I also love holiness at the same time. We can find that great and mighty balance. Stand to your feet if you would. Stand to your feet. God, help us here. Let's pray together to Heavenly Father. God, I've tried to preach this from my heart. Jesus, you dealt with Pharisees on a daily basis in your earthly ministry. Men that were very fragile in their minds. Men that did not love the truth of God. Men that were very emotional, mad. Holy Ghost, and I realize that we as human beings have to be careful that we don't fall into that category. God, we believe in holiness. It's practical, it's right. But God, we also believe in grace and mercy. God, help us to be a church of balance and truth. God, help our hearts to be pure. God, help us, God, not only to see the letter, but to see the spirit. God, help our spirits to be right before you. God, touch our brothers, touch our sisters. Minister to every heart and mind. We love your truth, God. We love your word. But God, we want to be faithful to you. Jesus didn't mind getting down in the mud and lifting up men and women. He sat at the table with sinners and teach them the truth. He was a man, God, that was able to find that balance. Help us, Holy Ghost, to be what we need to be. Help us, God, to be what we need to be, dear Jesus. Oh, we love you, Holy Ghost. We love you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.